There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Literary Spotlight.
We're shining a literary spotlight on film today. So if you watch Game of Thrones or the Harry Potter films, then you saw Julie Topman's work come to life.
Book of the Week, what you should be reading.
Over the last 20 years, Julie Topman has been the animal trainer behind a whole host of major Hollywood blockbusters. These include the Harry Potter franchise, Lassie, The Dark Knight, Sherlock Holmes, Casino Royale, Finding Neverland, 102 Dalmatians, and most recently Game of Thrones, among many more. She recently published two illustrated books, Superstar Cats and Superstar Dogs, where she shares easy tricks for pet owners to teach their beloved animals.
So there you go, a little bit of background information about Julie Topman, because we've got playwright, director and Alex Brune on the line. Hi Alex, how are you?
Good, thanks Annabelle and Yvette. Lovely to chat to you.
So Julie Topman, you're going to be moderating her at the festival. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm a massive Game of Thrones fan, I think as probably most people in the world are. And I think if you look at Game of Thrones, the animals play a huge part in it. And, you know, that's animals of all different sizes, whether they be really big or small. I mean, even things like the ravens, the owls, all the little tiny details that are so crucial to the show. And I think Julie plays a big part in that.
Have you ever worked with animals in production?
Not a lot, to tell you the truth. And it's a very, very tricky thing. I remember years ago working with a couple of dogs on set. And they were very, very well trained and had to do very, very simple things. But, you know, the pressure of, for an animal, of course, it's very, very scary when there's lots of lights, there's lots of sound, there's lots of commotion. And on a big, big production like Game of Thrones, where there's, you know, there could be 500 people on set or even more, I mean, it's a pretty scary environment. So I think Julie's biggest job would be keeping the animals calm, and especially the birds. And then making a bird fly to exactly the right point at exactly the right time, it takes, you know, years and years and years of training. So especially I think in the UAE and in Dubai with falconry such a big thing, I think Julie will be very fascinating for people to hear how she controls the birds and how she controls the animals and gets them to do what they need to do, trying to get rid of all the pressure and all the lights and all the sound and just be calm enough to carry out a very simple task.
What are you looking forward to asking her?
I guess I'm asking to Julie, you know, how much of it's real and how much of it is created. And yeah. I guess for her, during being involved with Game of Thrones, which is such an extraordinary and iconic story, what have been for her the personal highlights? I mean, imagine the wolves too. You know, you've got to remember those, the dire wolves, of course. Now, the dire wolves, we know, of course, you know, they're made larger on screen, but dealing with those wolves, and just even in the last series when all the wolves surrounded Aya in that scene, I mean, you've got 10, 12 different wolves actually on set right there. And I mean, dealing with that kind of, you know, animal that's still a dangerous animal. How do you do that? How do you deal with 12 wolves and how many of them were live and how many right there? You know, and I think one of the great things about Game of Thrones is they make sure that it looks as real as possible, and they do so much that's so real and possible. Then you've got all the horses, but especially I think the wolves, because they are the really, you know, they're a really dangerous animal, and they're getting very close. They're also interacting very, very closely with lots of the actors. I mean, you've got the actress there who plays Aya standing in the middle of being circled by 12 wolves. It's incredibly dangerous situations, and you just wonder how does Julie manage to control that and control that kind of situation? I mean, I'm sure she's had some hair-raising experiences, which I'd love to hear about.
I want to know how she trained the dragons. That's my big question.
Well, yeah, she'd have to find them first again, but again, she's done a great job with the dragons as well.
You're not just moderating Julie Topman at the festival either. Very briefly, before, I know you're very busy today, so I will let you go after this, but you're going to be chatting to a panel of locally based filmmakers about the power of visual storytelling to kind of bridge divides in film. What are you looking forward to asking that panel and focusing on?
So I'm really looking forward to speaking to Ali and the other filmmakers about some really important projects that they've worked on in the past and also in the future. And I think what you're finding with filmmaking in the Middle East is that filmmakers are becoming a little bit more bold, and they can perhaps explore subject areas that may not have been possible to explore in recent times. And they're also doing that with a really interesting viewpoint. It's a viewpoint, of course, that's based in the Middle East and a viewpoint looking out at the world from the Middle East. And I think we're all very, very tired of the way Hollywood presents the Middle East on screen. And it's great to see some Arabic voices, some Middle Eastern voices, exploring the real experience and the real human experience, because everything is so glossed over and everything is so good and bad when you watch, say, a Hollywood movie. Like, there's some dreadful movie that's coming out soon called Beirut, which has had lots of protests in Lebanon. And it's a very cliched, very dated history or presentation of the Middle East. And I think these filmmakers are really breaking new ground in discovering new ideas and new ways of perceiving and new ways of telling these stories. And I think the great thing about the Litfest showcasing these three filmmakers is to encourage people to see these films, watch these films, because they're really important films and they're also really good films. They're really entertaining, they're very interesting, they're very intricate. These are really detailed subject matter, and I think they're films that and filmmakers that we should really begin to watch and get in touch with. And it's as good as anything that's coming out of Europe or even the US.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, Alex, and we look forward to seeing you at the festival in March.
Me too. Thanks, Annabelle. Thanks. Chat to you then.
Bye. So there you go, Alex Bruin chatting to us about Julie Topman and everything film-related that's happening at the festival.
So I've been having thoughts while he was talking about Julie Topman.
Oh, that's
her
always
training.
Dangerous.
I know. That's almost as dangerous. Isabel's saying I've had an idea. I think we need her in the office, because I can just see, I could really test her by giving her some staff to train.
I thought that's where you were going with this.
Oh my goodness, the opportunities are endless. You know, this is where the toilet rolls are kept. Next time, go and get one. Things like that.
She might start comparing us, though, like she does with the owls and the ravens.
Absolutely.
And who's smarter and who's quicker.
If you were an animal, what would you be?
Oh, that's a bit difficult.
If that's answered this one before, because your children told you what you'd be.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was just actually trying to think.
A small bird with a very sharp beak.
That's correct. That is correct, actually. I did ask them. How can you remember that? It's awful.
I do not know why I remember that. And useful information
my daughter's
is not
always,
there.
Always described as a terrier, because if she's got a bit between her teeth, she never lets it. She is a dog with a bone, absolutely. So she's definitely a terrier. No, I am the bird with a small bird with a sharp beak.
Yeah. Gillian?
I don't know. That's really difficult. Something like an elephant?
No.
Not related to how I move in real life or anything. But
I do think you'd be quite an elusive creature, like the elusive haggis.
Oh, do you think so?
Yes.
Yeah, because of course they are real, aren't they?
Of course they are. Haggis are real.
Okay, trying to give an animal that's very measured, though. And
do you not think an elephant's quite measured?
Well, maybe you're right, actually. Sort of never acts without thinking, because everybody else is all over the place. And you're just like, wow, let's just think for a moment. And she sort of gets us all back in our place. So, sort of a wise animal. Julian.
We need a children's book written about all of us in the office as our character personas, as our animal personas.
It would just turn into like a sudden death match, and there'd be like one person standing at the end of it.
Probably the elephant, I think, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So right, if any listeners would like to text in to 4001 telling us what animals they think some of the Litfest team are, I will probably not be reading them out on air, but I think that'd be great. Yeah, I mean, what is Annabelle? Text in 4001. Let us know.
If I get lots of insulting text messages, I won't be happy.
Am I that small bird with the sharp beak?
I think.
Yeah, let's do it. And any other team members you might have come across, let us know.
One thing that I do want Gillian to contribute, because I think you know the answer to this, and that's Julie Topman, one of the fun facts is that training ravens and owls is very different, and owls are not as intelligent as we might think they are.
Yeah, and I was surprised by that. And actually, it was rats that I was really surprised at. She says they are so clever. Mm. She can actually work with them, and if they have to get to a specific mark, almost like an actor, you know, when they have to reach a specific mark for the camera, rats do that very well.
You are kidding me. They can reach a specific mark?
Yes, apparently. Yes. Everyone can ask her more about all the different animal types when she comes.
Well, speaking of that, her event is actually happening on Saturday the 10th of March at 12 p.m. at the Literature Festival. And the other panel that Alex was talking about earlier is called Culture, Cliché and Cut, and it's on Friday the 9th of March. And if you want to find out any more information and buy tickets and such, then you can go to emiratslitfest.com.
Bear in mind, Julie's got two events, remember?
Yes, she does. So the one that I was just talking about there was her Beast Mistress of the Seven Kingdoms event, which is more for grown-ups who are big fans of Game of Thrones.
I won't be going to that. I will be going to the Hedwig Whisperer, which is far more in my neck of the woods. Friday night to March, 4 o'clock. And that's for, yeah, my age group, 6+. I'll be there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And birds and humans welcome.
Absolutely. And I think any children who love Harry Potter, get yourselves along there and find out how those owls were trained and how not that intelligent owls can be.
Because there were scabbers as well. There were all the toads. I wonder if... I don't think you can train a toad. I doubt it.
You can.
Yeah, she must be able to. Yeah. I don't know how, but she must be able to. But the interesting thing for me is how many months it takes and how she often has to use more than one animal for any part.
Yeah.
Because obviously something could happen.
Yeah.
I spoke to her a while ago on the show and she said that one of her best gigs was actually Casino Royale. And I'm thinking, you know, what did she have to do in Casino Royale? And there's one scene where Daniel Craig has a cat on his lap and she had to keep putting the cat on Daniel Craig's lap. And she said that was a good day of work.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.